Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Good morning, everyone. Once again, we'd like to take this opportunity and to thank everyone for allowing us to come into your living rooms or your kitchens this morning, whichever place you may be listening to us here on WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country. We're here once again with the Clay County Corner, as we are each Thursday morning about 9 o'clock, and we have a good show lined up. We've got a special guest coming in here in just a little bit, and we've got, we may look at a couple of things that happened this past year, and we are coming to the end of another calendar year, and we had a whole lot of things going on here in the county, and it's been a great year for the radio show this year. We've had a number of excellent guests, and as I said, we really appreciate the fact that we're able to come to you each Thursday morning here at 9 o'clock. And, of course, this is made possible by our sponsors here in and around Salina, Clay County, Hermitage Springs, all over the county that advertise here on the show. And remember now, if we want to keep this show going and keep getting it stronger and stronger, we need you to tell folks you're listening to it, tell folks that are advertised here that you heard their ads, and that's the reason why you're visiting them. So this thing kind of plays upon itself, so we need to keep that in mind. And also, we're here in the old historic Clay County Courthouse that was completed about 1873. Been here a long time. It's still standing. It serves still serves us well as a public, as not a required public building, but a public use building now that we, of course, have our Christmas programs in. We have our car shows around the square here. We have moonshine days. We have homecoming days. Just all kinds of activities here around the old courthouse and around the old courthouse square, which traditionally is, you know, the center of our community, the center of our county. So we're glad you're with us this morning. And after we take a little short break, we'll come back and get started with the show today. But right now, let's take a little short break, and we'll be right back.
Hey, Clay County, Dairy Queen in Salina and Kicks Country want to give away a free ice cream cake. That's right. You can win a delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina for a friend or a loved one having a birthday or anniversary. And all you have to do is call 243-5574. Call 243-5574, speak clearly, leave the name of the person having a birthday or anniversary, and the date of the birthday or anniversary. Please leave your name and number so we can call you back if we have any trouble understanding your message. Then, every Thursday between 9 and 10 a.m. on the Clay County Corner, we'll read all of the birthdays and anniversaries collected that week. We will then, at random, pull out the name that will receive that delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina. That number again is 243-5574. Write it down. 243-5574 to win an ice cream cake from Kicks Country and Dairy Queen in Salina.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise, we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
It's not a rite of passage or just a part of growing up. Bullying has no place in Kentucky schools. I'm Stephanie Winkler, president of the Kentucky Education Association. Adults have the power to stop bullying. It's up to us as educators, as parents, as adults, to stand up on behalf of bullied kids. Take the pledge to be that adult at nea.org/bullyfree.
A message from the Kentucky Education Association.
Welcome back, everyone. Once again, we're back here. We've got our fireplace going this morning. It's a a nice morning here in Clay County. The sun is shining out there. The fog has all melted away. The rainstorms made it through last night. And once again, gave us a little bit of our much-needed rain to take care of our drought situation we've been in for the last little bit. So it's just a great morning to be alive, to be up and kicking and getting around here in Clay County. And we appreciate you listening to us this morning. We've got a great show lined up. I'm still waiting for my guest speaker to come in. She should be here in just a few minutes. Dr. Joyce Scott is going to come in and talk to us about a recent trip that she made up to Washington, D.C. to do a presentation for the, I think it's the National Physicians Council at Representative Pete Sessions' office up in Washington, D.C. And she's going to talk to us about that a little bit. And, of course, she is a doctor of osteopathy here in Clay County, been in practice here for a number of years. And, of course, her entire life story is fairly interesting, how she got into the medical field. And we'll be getting into that in a little bit. But let's see, what else we got going on here in the county? Today, both of our basketball teams are in action tonight down at Macon County High School. The girls are playing at 7 o'clock, and then the boys, I believe, at 8:30, and they're both playing in the championship round of the Nero White Classic down there at Macon County High School. And while we're on that, being an old basketball coach, and I guess I've studied the history of the game a little bit. The name I just mentioned there, I don't know if a lot of our young folks and even a lot of some of our older folks actually knew the story of Nero White. Miss Nero White was a basketball player and a high school athlete down in Macon County back in the 50s. I know those days we competed against them on a regular basis, and we still have lots of our young ladies that played basketball back in that day that remember playing against her in high school. But Nero White is recognized as one of the greatest female athletes in this entire country. She's a member of the National Basketball Hall of Fame. And also, she's a member of, I'm not sure the association that does that, but the Softball Association. As I said, she went to high school down at Macon County, and then after her high school playing days were over, she went out and traveled all over the country with these, I guess they were like barnstorming independent basketball teams that played men's teams and playing men's rules. But she eventually wound up playing for, Coach John Head down in Nashville at the Nashville Business College. And they were, I guess, similar to what we would call a semi-pro basketball team. There was an amateur league of women's basketball, which played five-on-five basketballs back in the 50s and the 60s. And I'm not sure just exactly how many years that she was named to the AAU All-American team in basketball. They were national champions. I'm not sure exactly how many years, but they were a virtual unbeatable powerhouse and traveled all over the country and actually traveled all over the world and played basketball back in the 50s and the 60s. And also, at this time, she also played fast-pitch softball. And she was one of the greatest, considered to be one of the greatest fast-pitch softball players that ever played. Of course, we know both of these sports now are, high-profile sports. But back in the day that she participated, they were kind of fringe, I guess looked upon as fringe athletic contests. But they were sanctioned by the Amateur Athletic Union. Now, I'm not sure if Nero ever got to participate in the Olympics or anything like that, but I'm sure that she did participate in the Pan American Games and those type things. And she and a lady named Joan Crawford, who played with her. If you want to do some research on Wikipedia or on your internet or something, just type those two names in sometime and take a look at the accomplishments that Nira White of Macon County, Tennessee did during her athletic career. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised by the things that you will find out. So, with that said, that's part of my history lesson for today. And we're sitting here by the fireside, and that kind of reminds me of a little bit of the situation we're looking at today with our president-elect and the things that are going on with his Twitter account. And being a history teacher and over the years, Franklin D. Roosevelt, FDR, he didn't use a Twitter account, but he was elected president, you know, during one of the darkest times of our country, during the Great Depression. And he had a thing called the Fireside Chat, where he came on the radio each night, and he talked to the country and tried to, you know, calm people down, because, you know, at the time of the Depression, you know, a lot of us can still look at some of the old stuff on the History Channel where folks bailed out their windows on Wall Street, committed suicide when the stock market fell, and the country was in a panic. A lot of people were afraid that there was going to be some type of revolution take place, and that everyone was basically just scared to death. No jobs, no work, no money. But President Roosevelt came on the radio each night, and he quietly sat by his fireplace and read. He read from the newspapers. He gave, in some instances, even just a little local news. He would burrow down all the way to someone, say, somewhere out in Nebraska that had a good story that needed to be told. He would read the comic strip for the kids, since a lot of them, you know, in those days, you read the comic strip each day in the newspaper to keep up with your favorite cartoon characters instead of watching them on TV or on the computer. So he read the comic strip to the folks. He helped them keep up with Dick Tracy and Little Orphan Annie and that type of thing. And in doing so, kind of, you know, calmed the country down. And but, you know, this thing of, you know, communicating directly with the people, it's nothing that's new. It's just a different, a different method of transmission that we have these days. But, you know, sitting here by the fireplace kind of reminded me of that. And as a nation, we've always managed to come up with a way where we always calm ourselves down, back up, look at things, and take a good deep breath and say, hey, we're America. We're the United States of America. There's nothing we can't do. Now, that's my soapbox for today. And with that, let's take a little short break, and we'll be back just in a minute.
As we grow older, aging can present emotional and behavioral problems that often go undetected or ignored. But this is not a part of the normal aging process. Senior Care Unit, located at Cumberland River Hospital in Salina, Tennessee, is devoted to helping older adults and their families deal with these changes. The Senior Care Unit provides a comprehensive approach with a highly skilled staff to pave the way for coping with these difficulties. Referrals to Senior Care can come from anyone at any time. Don't suffer alone. Senior Care is there to help your family when you need them most. For more information or to make a referral, please call 1-800-777-8553 or 931-243-5265.
Alvin and the Chipmunks want to remind you to keep bacteria in food from making you ill with four simple steps.
This should be a walk in the park.
Clean, wash hands and surfaces often.
I'm waiting for the rain cycle.
Separate, keep raw meats away from ready-to-eat food.
Yep.
Cook, make sure meat, poultry, and seafood is cooked to the right temperature.
Fire.
And chill. Refrigerate food promptly.
Bingo!
Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council. The road trip to food safety starts at foodsafety.gov.
It's 6:42 p.m. Time for Steve Plato and his son Dylan to do the dishes. They talk about everything from the yuckiness of girls to the awesomeness of his soccer team. Sometimes they don't talk at all. Then,
hey!
The dreaded splash fight. It's dad o'clock, and it's the best time of the day. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone. We're still waiting for our first guest, Dr. Scott, to get here. Hopefully she'll be here just in a minute. But as I said, we were invited her on today because she had been up to Washington, D.C. and had been invited by the National Physicians Council to meet with Representative Congressman Pete Sessions, who is a Republican from Texas, who for the past few years since he's been in Congress has been one of the, I guess, on the Republican side that have been looking at alternatives to our National Health Care Act and trying to, you know, fix some of the problems with it. And, of course, one of the problems I know that they ran into was the problem with rural health and the, you know, what to do about communities like Clay County and you know, all over the nation that had small cities. A lot of them didn't have any type of hospitals. They didn't have any type of emergency room service, that type thing. And it was very, very difficult for local rural doctors to maintain practices by some of the rules. And this was a group that's trying to work on that. And like I said, hopefully Dr. Scott will be here in just a few minutes. But, of course, I did a little research. And if you've been watching the news the past few mornings, you will notice that there have been some figures released in the last little bit about the health care cost in this country, and that I know our per capita health care cost in this nation is $9,024 per person, and that compares with most of the, I guess, our industrialized nations throughout the world. The highest nearest to us in per capita cost for health care is Switzerland at $6,000, but the majority of the European countries, Canada, they're all less than half of what we pay for health care per year. And also I noticed, I think the other morning on one of our national stations, that we had a breakdown of how, as Americans, we spend our health care dollars and what it is spent on. And for the first time, I think maybe in the history of keeping this record, cardiovascular heart problem is no longer the number one problem that we have money-wise, you know, as far as paying for health care. That has been passed by a category called non-differentiated health costs, which was things like emergency room visits for small health problems instead of major health problems like we said, cardiovascular problems and that type of thing. So, you know, that's a big change that health care has gone through in this country. And I know we have, I know that this same group, they're trying to work with the president-elect to you know, come up with some alternative health plan for our country that does take into consideration the rural part of our nation, because, you know, those of us living in areas like Clay County here in Tennessee or Monroe County over in Tompkinsville, even though we both have hospitals, we realize that health care is it's a very, very costly prospect for us. The insurance premiums, the fact of less coverage by employers anymore, more of the cost is now shifted to the insured instead of the insurer. We have higher rates for our copay, these type of things that you know, that directly affect us in our pocketbook. You know, these are things that we deal with on a daily basis. We will we're going to take a little short break here, and we'll be back just in a minute.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can.
Should have worn my glasses.
So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food than we know what to do with in this country, yet 17 million kids in America are struggling with hunger. Makes no sense. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Hey, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America in your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can.
Should have worn my glasses.
So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Welcome back, everyone. We've had to bring in a substitute for a few minutes. I don't know what's going on with Dr. Scott. Something may have come up where she couldn't come in this morning, and we may have to try and reschedule her later sometime. As you know, just the last little section, I kind of struggled there for a minute trying to fill in for a second, but sometimes these things happen in live radio, and of course, we are live, and I think we're still in living color, aren't we, Dr. Young?
I think so.
I don't know what we've drug him out of, but now we've always got stuff that we can talk about with the three-star program, with things going on here in the county, things that we're looking forward to, and I know he's got a piece of paper over here that I think we talked about a little bit a couple, 3 weeks ago about some of the things that have, some of the improvements going on here in the county, and I was talking to a gentleman this morning who's talking about how, things are looking better here in Salina, that things are cleaned up in front of some places that didn't used to be real clean. We've got a bunch of new businesses open, new storefronts. We've got most of our porches put up now, haven't we, and that type of thing.
And it's happening very gradually, Tom, and we don't really notice that things are looking better and good things are happening because it is so gradual. First, I'd like to remind people that the next couple of days are the last days for our Chamber of Commerce Director, Ray Norris. Ray is retiring again, and will be replaced soon by Kevin Donaldson. And so if you'd like, stop by and visit with Mr. Norris and let him know that you appreciate him. He's done a fantastic job in there for the last 9.5 years, and good things have happened as a result of him being there. And I just wanted to stop by and let people know that's available too.
All right. Thanks, Dr. Young, for coming by, and we want to, once again, express our appreciation for Mr. Ray Norris, who has been with us here for this number of years, and hopefully he won't hibernate and hide himself out on the ridge somewhere or another. Come in, Dr. Scott. pull up a chair and sit down and join us here. You should have heard me trying to pretend I was you here for a few minutes.
Is that right?
Just have a seat there.
Well, okay.
Yeah, we've got a fire going here.
I bet you cut that wood and rip it up.
Yeah, I did all those things, yeah. Dr. Scott and I have known each other,
2 or 3 days.
Yeah, 2 or 3 days. I think she was maybe in grade school when I was in high school with, I think her sister was in the same class with my
wife.
She was
bawling.
So we've known each other a long time. And also we were members of the same faculty for a while. And
good day.
Before we get into really her recent trip to D.C., let her, you know, tell the folks about her, you know, her path to where she is now as a doctor of osteopathy.
Yeah.
It really wasn't a straight trail.
A crooked path.
I know from, how do you go from being a mother of three who has a nice niche as a home economics teacher at Salina High School, and then all at once, hey, I think I like the health field better. tell us about that just a little bit.
Well, I really think I learned that in home economics when I was teaching child development.
Up close to the microphone where everybody can hear you.
Who was here before me? Mr. Young.
And yeah.
He's taller. I didn't realize he's that much taller than me.
All right. Now.
How's that? Is that better?
Yes, it is.
Okay, back to the home economics. I was teaching child development, and I just loved it. The more I taught child development, the more I liked it. And so then I get into this pregnancy and birth. I don't know if you remember or not, but in home economics, we had Lamaze and birth and all this stuff. And that sort of led me off into the medicine.
And you were, I think you were school nurse at one time for a little while.
Well,
sure.
See, between all that, I ended up going back and getting my RN. And so then I got to working as a home health nurse and up at the hospital, and then I'd teach, and then I'd do nursing. And I really, to tell you the truth about it, I was working in the ER as a charge nurse. A patient came in 7 months pregnant, and she was having her babies, and she did not know this. And so she had twins, which she didn't know she was having twins. And so they flew both those babies out, okay? And I asked her, I said, when she went to the doctor, if she knew she was having twins, and she said, no, I've only been once. She said, my husband works at the sawmill. He's the only one that could drive. I don't drive. And so her babies died. And so I thought, well, you know, we have such a pitiful little community here. And somebody that understands this culture might be an asset as a physician here. And so that's how I sort of got into the doctoring business.
And you went to medical school?
I did.
Made it through that?
Yes.
And you have a shingle hanging on the wall?
Well, I had one. I've had to take it down and put it here and there.
You have your office over at near your home over there, I think.
It sits in the yard beside the house. I walk to work every day. I get my exercise.
And also now, Dr. Scott, I know that... In addition, I know, tell us a little bit about the practice of the field that you're in and the difference of that and some of the traditional medicine that we're used to.
Well, I don't know. Let's see. Of course, a DO is like it's an MD, it's a medical school, and you go through all the training, same thing. You just have more of the hands-on. You can do like manipulation if you want to. And you treat the whole body, the whole patient. So if they have something wrong, you might not necessarily just, if they have like something in their muscles, like their back, it's not the same thing as a chiropractor. It is a medical doctor, and you have the skills to, you get a lot of anatomy in the DO school.
You know, growing up, I was in the, I guess, the thought about aspirin, painkiller. You know, our thought was that an aspirin would help you to feel better while your body healed itself.
Well, it does.
And that, you know, that, and I think, you know, and you and I both know now as a generation of instant gratification, we want that dadgum pain stop now.
Right.
And if it don't stop now, we don't maybe look at the source of what's causing it, but try to whip it with another pill, don't we?
Right. See, as a DO, you look at the whole body as a unit, and more like mind, body, spirit. You try to use the body to help overcome. I mean, you give the body a chance to heal itself along with traditional medicine. And so you use all these other recipes, but you allow the patient to help themselves with their own body.
Okay, and I also know that you've written a couple of books, and I know one of them, I think the one with the plate deal, where learning how to eat healthy by having the message on the plate looking back at you when you're eating.
Well, I wrote that first book, The Three N's, Nobody from Nowhere Going No Place, because I thought, well, it might inspire somebody to, if they have a dream, to not give up, because I was 38 when I went to medical school. Not that I want to talk about how old I am, but anyway, age just beats you up anyway. But nevertheless, I thought, well, if it inspires somebody to not give up, then that was the reason for that. Plus, I thought, well, I might be able to pay off my school loans. And so I was really delusional, because I would have to sell 45,544 three different times. And so I thought, well, this is just not going to pay those school loans off. But anyway, the second book that I wrote, over the years, I've had all these patients come, and they have difficulty with their weight and nutrition. So I would try to think about all this stuff. And I mean, I could have wrote for diet pills a long time ago. This one told me, she says, listen, I drive to Monticello. And she said, I just soon give you my $20 and drive all the way to Monticello. But then as a physician, you have to understand the risk versus the benefits. And at that time, these were affecting the heart valves and the respiratory system. So I thought, nope. So I was trying to come up with a way to do this nutritionally. So I designed this plate. And I know you've seen these little children. They'll draw these things, and they'll, like, their hands, and they'll put it on a plate. And then, well, now that's what I did. I made a template, and I drew the portions on a template, free-handed with magic markers. And I have to tell you this, because I took that template, and I took it up to the hospital, and I was showing some of the nurses. And so one of them said, oh, that's a great idea, Dr. Scott, but you forgot the E in vegetable. And I thought, ah! So I thought, oh, me. And so I went home, and I was going to try to squeeze the E between the V and the G, and then I noticed I'd left out the other E. I had to draw it again. And so then I sent that template off, and it was put on a plate. Each one of those, like the vegetables, the fruits, the meat, and the carbohydrates, all of that, see, is in portions. So all you have to do, if you can decide that this fish and chicken and meat looks like a piece of meat, you put your meat there. You see what I mean? If you can decide that's a carrot and a and broccoli, you put your vegetables there. And you don't have to measure anything, weigh it. You don't have to decide, is this a carbohydrate or a protein? You just lay it on the plate.
Okay. I knew that.
And stay in the yellow line.
Yeah.
You have to stay in the yellow line.
So we can't let any dribble over in the other one.
No, somebody said, hey, what if I piled it higher? And I said, that's not going to work, because the force of gravity would be with me. It slides across the yellow line.
Okay. Now, I think we probably need to take a little short break here, and we're going to come back and talk some serious stuff here in just a minute.
Okay.
But it's always a pleasure just when you and I sit down and we hadn't done this in a long time.
No, it's been a minute or two.
But we'll take a little short break here. We'll be back, and I'll read off our list of birthday and anniversary folks. We're going to give away a birthday cake.
Oh, great.
From out the Dairy Queen. But you
Happy
can't
birthday.
Win. You can help me pick the winner here in a little bit. But we'll do that when we get back. And right now, let's take a little short break, and we'll be back just in a minute.
Trican Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Recycling means to use something again. Newspapers can be used to make new newspapers. Aluminum cans can be used to make new aluminum cans. Glass jars can be used to make new glass jars. Recycling often saves energy and natural resources. It almost always takes less energy to make a product from recycled materials than it does to make it from new materials. Don't forget to add up the savings and be energy wise.
During these tough economic times, it's easy to lose sight of the importance of saving for the future. The National Foundation for Credit Counseling wants you to know there are simple steps to set aside dollars each month. The most important is reviewing all your monthly expenses and establishing a household budget. Need help getting started? Speak with a certified credit counselor who can help map out a plan for you. Call the NFCC at 800-388-2227. This has been a public service message from the NFCC.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got a lot of food in this country. We've got so much food that we can't eat it all. So how are 17 million kids in America struggling with hunger? That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks gathers surplus food and gets it to hungry kids who need it. Support Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
We're back again. Dr. Scott's here with me, and she's enjoying sitting here by the fireplace. But before we get back to her, we do have a thing here called the Birthday and Anniversary Club that we do each Thursday morning. And about halfway through the show, we try to read off a list of names of folks that have let us know they've got a birthday or anniversary they celebrated this past week. Now, remember that it's this past week, and we'll begin a new week after we shut down today. So you can call in, and that number to call is 243-5574, and you'll get an answering machine. You'll hear a voice on there telling you to speak slowly, clearly, and because you are talking to an answering machine, and you can't start all over. Well, you can start all over again if you want to, but it won't answer back to you. And it's a good idea, like I said, I've told you before, is to speak the name of the person you're wanting to celebrate twice. That gives me two chances to mess up. So to do that, and like slowly, clearly, and say it twice, and we'll get their names on here, and we put their name in a drawing, and we've got this great non-computerized system where we kick out a name, and they take and go by over at the Clay County Community Center, over at the Clay County Chamber. That was a misspeaker, wasn't it? The Clay County Chamber, and their certificate there, and they take that over to the Dairy Queen, and they get one of those delicious Dairy Queen ice cream cakes. And that's 243-5574. And on our list of birthday and anniversaries this week, we have a couple that were called in by Miss Liz Strong out at Moss to honor Charles Savage and Elizabeth McLaren, who celebrated birthdays this past week. Charles on the 24th, Elizabeth on the 28th. And then also we received a call for Aiden Thompson from his Nana and Pa to wish him a happy birthday. And then we have three anniversaries from out in the Pine Hill community that were called in. Leon and Marianne Collins celebrated an anniversary this past week. And Pernell and Wendy Copas celebrated their anniversary. And Don and Anita Cherry. And then also down in that area, Joan Grace celebrated a birthday, one of my former students, like most of these folks. When you've been around as long as some of us have, it's hard to get by them. Miss Jolina Birdwell celebrated a birthday on the 24th. And here in Salina, Ronnie Strong celebrated a birthday on the 25th. And a special birthday to Miss Ruth Parsons, who celebrated a birthday on the 26th. I understand Miss Ruth's a little bit under the weather right now, and we'd like to wish her, you know, get back up on your feet, Miss Ruth, and get back out. But these folks, we'll choose a name out of these. I believe there's 10 of them here. And this lucky person will receive the birthday and anniversary cake from the Salina Grill and Chill, the DQ here, from Tiffany Montgomery and all of her folks out there. And go out by there. They'll take care of you. They'll fix you a good breakfast. They'll fix you about anything you want. A good nutritious breakfast, which we were talking about. But Dr. Scott, I know, on a serious note, I know you found out sometimes if you ask for something, you got to be careful because you're liable to get it, aren't you? You want to tell us about your trip that you made up to D.C. and what led up to it and what went on there and the importance of it to us here in Clay County and Salina.
Well, the way it sort of came about, you know, I'm a primary care provider on the creek, okay, do rural medicine, about as rural as you can get. So anyway, I belong to this association for physicians and surgeons, and one of those doctors is from New Jersey. And so Sunday night I got a phone call, and I thought, Lord, this is Blue Cross trying to call and see if I've got somebody on call and coverage and everything. And when I got the message, because it's sort of like your answering machine, if you don't answer it real quick, you don't get a talk, okay? So anyway, it was this New Jersey doctor, and he said, Dr. Scott, I have sent you a formal invitation to speak at Congress for rural medicine. We would like for you to prepare a presentation so that you can tell the influence of Medicare and the Affordable Care Act for rural providers and solo practice and your patients. So I had a big laugh out of that. I thought that's the funniest thing it was. So I told Perry about it, and he said, well, you are going to go. And I thought, no. Too far to walk, and, you know, flying's like powerful poison. It just one drop of key. And so anyway, I thought, no, I can't never do it. And so I thought, well, okay. So then I called him back, and he had sent me an email on this for a meeting. So I had to put together a presentation. Then that doctor from California called. And one of the things is all these changes since the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare is what a lot of people are more familiar with. It, in 2010, when they sort of brought this in 2011, this legislation, it also brought in mandates for all the insurance companies and the way that the hospitals and providers provide health care coverage for all the patients. It started out as a wonderful idea. But see, now it has been bogged down by these rules and regulations, and it is absolutely devastating to rural communities like Clay County. They don't realize not everybody lives in Nashville and has Vanderbilt, St. Thomas, and Baptist Hospital, you know, all those. And so because of that, it's affected the way you can practice, and it's just really nudging us out because of technology and the requirements and the mandates. So I had to put together a presentation, a PowerPoint presentation, to explain how this has an impact on rural communities. So then I went to Washington, and that's what I did. There's like representatives, senators, doctors from across the United States that were there to listen, and they were trying to, because now with a new election, they're trying to repeal Obamacare and try to change some of those things, along with Medicare. The Medicare is a completely different thing. And so the Medicare with this MACRA, it is a new legislation that now there's only like, okay, like pretend you are Medicare, you young thing, and you come in to see me. You say, well, I am young, but I have Medicare. Nevertheless, you come in prior to MACRA, we had a fee for service, which means if you come in with a cold, I just look in your eyes, ears, nose, listen to your lungs, take your temperature and all that kind of good stuff, and I say, oh, you got a cold, and I just write you out some prescriptions, which, because I write it on a piece of paper, I'm already getting dinged. Medicare says I must use electronic prescribing, and because I do not have that in my office, every time they write a check to reimburse me, they take back money. It's like, well, we would give you $13.16, but because you're not using e-prescribing, we're taking back $2. You see, that's sort of how it's sort of going. So see, if you came in for that, that's called a fee for service. If you came in and you say, well, listen, I want a complete physical exam, and so then you come in, we do the whole thing from head to toe, okay, then there's going to be a different procedure code. Then it would be maybe a higher cost for a fee, okay, because I did a more thorough exam.
Right.
Now, those types of things are going away under Medicare. Now they have changed it to two different groups, and it's more of like a merit pay. And the only way, and it's either an A or a B plan. And so the thing about this, what you have to do, you have to prove that you've earned their pay. And so you have to submit to them proof that you have done this, that your patient has had a colonoscopy, they've had an eye exam, they've had their cholesterol checked. If they have diabetes, they must have an A1C done. They have to be sure that they're taking all their medicines supposed to be taken. Their blood pressure is controlled. They've had a PSA, or they've had a breast exam, they've had a mammogram. All these things you have to submit and prove, yes, I have done this. But the only way you can do that, you must have electronic medical records. I have paper charts. So if you came into my office and I saw you, I would write everything on a paper, piece of paper. I have a standard office visit note, and I'd record all myself on that piece of paper as a legal document for your chart. All right, well, the way it works now, you must have electronic medical records. And so this is a big burden and cost to all providers that do this. Anywhere from all the way to $50,000, $60,000, $100,000, there are some groups that have spent more than $300,000, you know, investing in just the electronic system. And then you have to have 5,000 people like Moses and the Israelites working for you to be able to do it. And see, when you're just one person like I am, you don't even I don't even qualify for any of those. I don't qualify to, like with the Affordable Care Act, they have all these mandates, you must do this, you must do that. Well, I've not been able to do any of those, so I've been left behind ever since they've come in with all this.
But there's a good side to it. Your records hadn't been hacked, have they?
No, and I laugh, and honey, if the lights are out and the electricity's off, and as long as we got daylight, I can still see my patients.
Well, you know, Dr. Scott, I know what you just said there, and I think looking through some of the notes that I looked at, as a single person practitioner there where you're at, you would be looking at spending up front, like you said, probably about $50,000 up front.
At least.
And then, you know, hey, well, $50,000 ain't too much, but there's a big but. There is a annual fee for this stuff once you get it purchased to stay on the network, the network fee, the software updates, and there's going to be a rewrite to the software.
Right.
Every time some congressman changes an A to an N.
Right.
But they don't realize how much rewrite there is in the software and how much that's going to cost you down there just for them to make that one little change there. And there's really, it's nearly impossible, isn't
well,
it?
Well, I'll give you, for example, the doctor who was instrumental in me being a participant at Congress, one of the things that they started out with was called meaningful use. Do you remember how, like, the master teacher thing was, like, you know, level one, level two, level three? You know how wonderful that was. Okay, now, this meaningful use, you had to do meaningful use one before you could get to two to three. So anyway, that was all these requirements for your software, your electronic medical records, and it had to be approved. And then if you've done all these things and proved, yes, I really looked in their ears and I really listened to their lungs and I really done their blood work, then you submitted all that stuff, they would give you, just because you were doing what they told you to do, $16,000. Well, this doctor, after 3 years, got his $16,000. He invested $28,000 to get his software updated just to get to $16,000. Then 2 years later, they come back and said, now we want proof of all this. By that time, his computer had died. He'd put it in the closet, and he couldn't get the information off. And so they said, well, you're going to have to pay back the $16,000. He said, but I've got all that information in that computer. And they said, well, you're going to have to get it off. So then he had to contact Warehouse, where he got the computer. Well, they'd gone out of business. And then they sold to CVS, who had sold to another product. And so he spent 4 years, okay? He had spent 4 years. It cost him $125,000 in legal fees over that $16,000. Now, this is just one case.
Let's take a break on that one case for a second. We do have to earn some sponsorship money here.
Okay.
This is interesting stuff. I know, you know, we hear these horror tales all the time on the patient side. Now we're getting to listen to some of the horror tales from the doctor side. And we'll get back to this just in a minute.
Hey, Clay County, Dairy Queen in Salina and Kix Country want to give away a free ice cream cake. That's right. You can win a delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina for a friend or a loved one having a birthday or anniversary. And all you have to do is call 243-5574. Call 243-5574, speak clearly, leave the name of the person having a birthday or anniversary, and the date of the birthday or anniversary. Please leave your name and number so we can call you back if we have any trouble understanding your message. Then, every Thursday between 9 and 10 a.m. on the Clay County Corner, we'll read all of the birthdays and anniversaries collected that week. We will then, at random, pull out the name that will receive that delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina. That number again is 243-5574. Write it down. 243-5574 to win an ice cream cake from Kix Country and Dairy Queen in Salina.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise, we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Hey, America, you need to have a little talk. We've got a lot of food in this country. We've got so much food that we can't eat it all. So how are 17 million kids in America struggling with hunger? That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks gathers surplus food and gets it to hungry kids who need it. Support Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. We're back here with the country doctor here, who lives up and across the creek.
Right.
And we just got through with a little bit of a horror story from the MD side. And I know there are a lot of questions, I know you mentioned a lot of things that your practice does that a regular MD might not do because the different. I know you're all looking for the same end result, but a lot of times you go about it in different ways. And, a question in my mind came up about do they treat MDs differently? Are there certain things that a DO would do that might not be eligible for repayment?
One of the most difficult things, I think, is a DO. DOs do, like, manipulation. And the difference between a chiropractor and a DO can treat the whole body, whereas a chiropractor just treats like the back, the neck and the back. But anyway, the thing, like for those, you have codes for all those. That's just something they don't understand about treatment. It's sort of like a physical therapy on hands-on treatment. And so sometimes it's a little bit difficult. And they're really trying to get that to where they don't even reimburse. And so it's a fight to get that.
But let me ask you a question about something. You know, when I get my little thing from CMS, after I've been to the doctor.
And you need an interpreter.
Right, you need an interpreter. They got all these codes in there where they build it.
Right.
And you'll see the cost there, and I know a lot of this is an advertisement for the insurance company, when what they send back actually is, because they'll have down there that a cost is submitted to them.
Right.
And then it'll say, well, Medicare allowed this.
Right.
And then your insurance company will say, well, we allowed this. But magically, a lot of times, that difference, it doesn't show up on anybody's bill.
See, that's one of the things, and I think, like with all these charges, and I had to learn this when I started my practice, you get these codes from the Federal Register. You don't just whip them up. You think, hey, I got an idea. I cooked, made cookies, and so I'll just make my own little codes. And there are federal mandates on what you have to do. So you are exactly right. And Medicare is off in another world anyway. I don't know if they know if they're washing or hanging out. I did get an incentive bonus one time for being a rural provider for Medicare, 14 cents. Let me tell you, that was the funniest thing there was, because I got that. I tore that envelope all to pieces. I thought, yay, I've got some money. And I opened that up, and it was 14 cents. And so I called one of the local pharmacists at the time, and I faxed it to him. I said, the next time you go to Las Vegas, call and tell me, because I'm going to take out my check, and I'm going with you. But I'm telling you that you are right. What they allow, see, that's another way that these insurances have, because a lot of my patients, they say, well, this is out of network, but I'll go ahead and it'll count toward my deductible. And what they don't understand, if it is a non-covered, it doesn't matter if your deductible is $1,000 and that's non-covered, it's $5,000, you don't get credit for that. And so it's really a maze how you go through all this stuff. A charge will be generated when you go to see your physician. And then you set everything, even with Medicare. Medicare sets the golden standard. This is how you came up with it. And so you look at what Medicare will allow. Because commercial insurance is, because we realize, now this is what I think, Medicare is my good deed doer. I hope that gets me through the pearly gates. I will never earn my right to get up there, but I know they'll say, now come on down, Joyce, you take Medicare, we're going to let you have this old rundown mansion down here. You didn't earn your way, but you did take Medicare, so we're going to let you be up here. But nevertheless, Medicare sets the basic standard for charges. these commercial insurances will allow you to increase Medicare wages, whatever they're going to give you back. They'll let you, like, charge 100% more, 200% more, and that's why you'll see commercial insurance pay back a little bit more because they have more money in the funds. And so when you do this in Medicare, like you say, it'll say this is covered. That means that we will allow you to get this done. Portion will pay. This portion you might be billed for. If you have a secondary insurance, oftentimes it'll pick that up. But if it says it's non-covered and they write that off, nobody gets paid, okay? And so that would be like you saying, I'm going to work for $10 an hour, and you go to work, and they say, well, we changed our mind. We're not going to pay nobody tonight. You see?
And I did notice something, too, Dr. Scott, that there are, you know, like the thing I get from CMS,
mm-hmm.
you know, showing those charges
right.
and things, that there are certain classes of doctors that they will pay more.
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
you, they might if it's a $100 bill,
mm-hmm.
they might pay $40 of what you submitted.
Right.
But another doctor in another
mm-hmm.
group submits
mm-hmm.
the same thing, and
mm-hmm.
they pay him $80.
Right. In Chattanooga, where is the World of Medicare, Blue Cross Blue Shield? Let me tell you, those doctors get reimbursed more than just anybody else. Like in Clay County, we're the same kind of doctor, and we submit Blue Cross Blue Shield, but doctors in Chattanooga are reimbursed at a higher rate from Blue Cross.
Their houses are up on Lookout Mountain.
Exactly, and they're looking down on us, honey.
Well, we have run out of time.
Okay.
We're going to come back and do this again sometime and get a little bit deeper, because we've just barely scratched the surface.
Mm-hmm.
And I do know that it is a battle now to try and protect.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, at one time we were giving doctors bonuses to come to Clay County.
Mm-hmm.
We were paying their medical school costs mm-hmm. and things like that to get them to come to rural areas. And I don't think that's taking place right now, because I'm sure you're not getting a rebate each month for being
well,
in Clay County.
Well, I'm a solo practice.
Right.
I support myself. And so if you are an employed physician,
reach in my computer there and pull out a number.
Well, okay. All right. Well, just
one now. We can't give
just
away
one.
Two.
Okay.
Cash.
There you go.
All right. Let's see who we've got here. We have number five, Elizabeth McLaren. You just pulled out Elizabeth's name, and she'll get an ice cream cake from the Dairy Queen here in Solana. And well, I guess we can wish her a special happy birthday since she gets the cake. And I think we're about to run out of time. The old clock on the wall, I think we've got a couple more minutes. Is there anything that you would like to finish, I mean, on a note of something that you really think is important for your patients, for everyone, that, you know, we all got to have doctors?
Well, this is true, but I'm not sure how you get the attention. The ones who are making the rules are in Washington. And so, you know, you might reach out to your... I don't know if you want to play AT&T and reach out and smack them or touch them, whichever one you want to do, but those are the ones. I mean, I'm telling you, voters have a louder voice than doctors. That's one thing I learned at Washington. You know, as doctors, I mean, this doctor's model of the United States, but voters, which are the patients, have more of an impact on change, I think, than anything else. And I think if they want something changed, and they're not happy with it, they need to talk to the legislators.
I think, do you all have a Rural Physicians Association? That,
yes.
And, you know, that, this, you know, we all have that thought of it being an elitist group and an untouchable group. But the down-to-earth people like you, and, you know, it's great that you got to go up there and voice for this little community up here. And I understand that you were a pretty good hit, maybe got a laugh or two.
Right. It was really humbling because, I mean, I didn't know any of those people. And I talked to them about Clay County and this rural area and what a difficult time we had being geographically isolated to what it did to our economy. This has impacted our entire county. Boys like jobs, revenue, industry, and you know, as the economy goes, so goes the health care.
Right. Well, Dr. Scott, like I said, you have an open invitation. We'll get you back on here again a little bit
well,
later.
It's been wonderful.
And I do know, you're not going to mention this, but I did, how long was that standing ovation?
Well, I don't know. I was just so shocked. I couldn't stand it. I thought, oh, my gosh, you know. I saw a little of them jump up, and I thought, oh, my goodness.
Well, I guess we better sign off here today.
Thank you very much.
They'll shut us down if we don't.
And thank you very much.
You know, may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you again. And hopefully we'll meet you again here on 101.5 Kicks Country this same time. And don't forget, you can tune us in tonight at 6 o'clock. And there's a rebroadcast, and I think maybe the Clay County Horizon has a streaming thing where they record some of these and they play them back. So check that out. I'm not sure exactly which ones they've got on there. But if it's interesting, tell your neighbors and tell them to listen to us tonight. Dr. Scott, thank you for being with us. And Clay County, good day.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kicks Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them. Or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.